Hello, welcome to Rockstar Podcast episode 029.
We're almost at 30? That's amazing!
30 and 30? 30 episodes in 30 years?
Yeah. Deaf, dumb, and 30?
Yes. Hi, Mariano.
Good day, sir.
Always something new with his hello.
It's always awkward.
It is. He does. He feels so awkward. Much pressure to
it's
do
always
it.
Awkward.
Trying to make it different.
I'm going to stare at his hair a lot today.
Because it is all
messy hair, don't care.
Messy hair, don't care.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great, thank you. 16 shots of espresso in this coffee.
Are you doing background noise on an audio? Audio guy? Okay. Oh, right. You were like, ordered some fancy coffee or something like that. And he's like, how many shots of espresso in there, too? And she's like, four. And he got very excited.
I said, all right, I'll pay for that. It's fine.
So we're actually not, this is not like, what do you do when you record the audio but you play it fast forwarded? Like,
fast
times four? Yeah. Tony is in normal mode.
Yes, I'm in normal mode. Very excited.
Mary? No.
He's going to sound like a chipmunk pretty soon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, you turn the microphone on. I'm on now.
I know, but Mariano's laughing like a schoolgirl right now.
Oh, man.
I'm very excited about all the little lines and memes that they do about the Trump wall. And the one that I saw last night was very entertaining for me. And it said, what if Mexico decides to build stairs on the other side of the wall?
I saw your post.
Which was hysterical to me.
That's a great one.
What if they do build stairs?
That they would pay for.
They would have to pay for. It would be a lot cheaper than the wall.
So, there's that. No, that's fine. Well, I'll start out. What's your cable operator optimum situations at home?
Exactly, yes, optimum.
Optimum.
Yes.
Okay. Could you be candid enough to give us a ballpark of what you're paying? Let's be
sure. So I have everything through them, and yes, I
internet.
Internet. Landline? I still have a landline. Yeah. Okay. And
TVs.
TV, which includes a couple of premium channels and all the accoutrements,
like the
HBO and Showtime, and everything that comes with them. So it's about $200.
$200.
Yeah.
I don't know how to figure only a 200 then.
207.
Okay. And you are, we would say, frugal.
I am frugal. I've been wanting to cut the cord for about 2 years.
I have good. Anyway, go ahead. Mariano, what do you like?
I have Verizon Fios.
Oh, I was going to tell me you just watch PBS and Charlie.
Yeah, don't characterize me like that. I do not watch Charlie Rose.
I see your Instagram vegan posts, so I can characterize you, yes.
Well, you can't possibly see my Instagram vegan posts because, as we established at a previous podcast...
Oh, no,
podcast,
you don't know what your wife posts.
I do not post vegan.
Yes.
I do not post
on Instagram.
Yes, we talked about that. I am vegan. No, I have Verizon Fios. I don't have any premium channels.
Do you have a landline?
I have a landline.
You have the internet.
I have the internet. And
you
I have
no
TV.
Premium channels. So.
I have no premium channels, but I have like...
No, there's like 800 channels on there, right?
Yeah, there's like 800 channels and DVR, and I pay $130-something a month. Okay. So.
So I have Optimum.
Yeah.
I had Optimum. I was paying $265 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no landline.
Wow.
So I have internet.
Yeah.
And I have cable. I have no premium channels.
Wow. That's...
It's five TVs, $10 per TV. So the package I had was $80 for the TV that I have. Then it's plus 50 because it's $10 per TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that is...
Because you have a cable box associated with each TV.
Each one. Yeah. Okay. So it used to be before Jim Dolan sold it. To this company Altice that you see, it used to be $5 a TV. Now it's $10, so that puts me at $140. My internet package is $70 because I have the higher tier.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts me That puts me at about $210, $215. Then I have the Rai Italian station, which is $220. So you could see I have cut the cord.
You have.
And the problem that the only reason I paid $260 a month was for the New York Rangers, which was, they play Madison Square Garden, owned by MSG.
Mm-hmm.
MSG was owned by Jim Dolan. Jim Dolan owned Optimum. He did not release the MSG Rangers as a third-party app like HBO Go and stuff like that because he wanted to keep it in-house. He sold it last year, and now, because he sold it, MSG is available on the Fubo app, which is similar to Sling and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now I have about 60% of the channels that I had on cable. I have I have Netflix, I have HBO, I have MSG within that for $45 a month.
Fantastic.
Oh my God. Well, but
so I cut everything out of Optimum, right? Except for the internet.
Except for the internet, you have Prime.
Amazon Prime.
So you would have
Prime. So what are you getting that through the app?
Yes. So it's on apps, iPhones, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's on the TVs.
Yeah.
And it's got the DVR recording, blah, blah, blah. Fubo TV, $45 a month.
Wait a minute.
And I played off of
Roku. What TV are you using?
Roku. Off the Roku.
Who's your internet provider then?
It's still Optimum.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I eliminated $170 worth of TV to go down to $45.
That's fantastic.
And so the $45 includes what is the $45?
It includes about 60 channels, everything from your local to MSG to CNN to True TV to TLC. Mm-hmm.
My question is more, it's $45 a month, but is that internet access plus your channels?
No, $45 a month for TV.
For that app.
For that app, which has TV on it, mm-hmm. and that app is placed on my Roku, mm-hmm. and I have a Roku for each TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the $45 gives me 4 users at any given time,
mm-hmm.
plus the 30 hours of DVR, blah, blah, blah. The things that I have to pay for in addition to Fubo, the $45 is my preference. The Italian station, which is $7,
right.
Mm-hmm. Netflix, which is $9.
Right.
So I am at about $60 when it's all said and done, plus $60 for the internet, which is $120.
Yep.
So from $120 down from $270, but I've added Netflix.
Yep.
Yeah, but you've
added. That's great.
So I've cut out about $160 a month.
That sounds good. I'd buy wine with that.
Awesome.
And it was all because of the New York Rangers. And they also have SNY for the Mets, which didn't have its own thing.
Right.
But it's regular TV for the most part. Plus, they have a crap load of free movies. Fubo is short for football. It used to be the soccer global thing, so it's really geared more towards sports. So, like, the Sling TVs have a lot of the Cinemaxes and Showtimes mm-hmm. and stuff like that, which you can do separately. This one has, you're going to get more sports than anywhere. Plus, you get about 60 to 70 of your basic channels.
Yeah.
So, for me, it worked out. And there you go. That's the only reason I was waiting for the MSG thing. But yeah.
What are you going to do with all that money now?
I'll probably buy stuff on Amazon.
Put it towards your Prime membership.
That's interesting because it's one of the things that I've actually been thinking about recently is, you know, I'm pretty cheap when it comes to the TV stuff too, because first of all, we don't watch a ton of TV.
You're filling the stereotype now. Go ahead.
But what I'm saying
what
is
what do you that, watch?
What do I watch?
What do you watch? Do you have like CNN in the background, like that kind of stuff?
That's me.
No, that's you.
Me.
Okay, that's
no,
you.
I do
that's
not.
Me. See, that used to be me.
Yeah.
Until a week ago, and now I discovered Netflix. And when I mean it, I did Netflix 8 years ago, and I was like, this is the fucking worst. There's no movies.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh,
yes, clearly now it's amazing. Content. So now instead of the repeat of Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper and Cuomo, I have the other night I watched the Letterman interviews where he does.
Yeah, oh, they're great. Yeah.
So there's that. Back to you, Barrietta. What do you like?
I don't. First
you're
of all,
like Karen. You're insular.
Right? I can't. Yeah, I can't have anything running in the background. I've never been that way. You know, even when I'm working on my computer, like I see developers who actually have a second screen that has something running.
Yes.
And I can't do that. Like, it just doesn't work.
That I can't do either.
Well, you can't, Tony, because you're listening to audio.
Most of the time.
I can because I'm such a visual person that audio really, I absorb audio very well when I'm distracted.
Yeah.
Really
I've seen you work for many years. You've got it on.
I have to have distraction and chaos.
I know that people can do that. There are many people that I've seen do it, and it's just not me. Like, when I'm focused on something, I need to have just that on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even listen to music anymore. Years ago I would, but now I can't even listen to music when I'm working.
See, I would, if I was that way, I probably would never need TV. I would agree with you, because I would never find myself, very rarely would I find myself just sitting down.
Yeah.
Like, I'll work during the Super Bowl. Can't. If I'm home alone watching the Super Bowl, if I don't go to a party, I'll work while I'm watching the Super Bowl.
No, I can't do that.
So I would never have TV. So when do you actually, like, sit down and watch TV?
Very rarely.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, most TV that we watch is when we're watching as a family. So I'm not, like, watching. I'm not a big sports guy. Like, I'm a baseball fan, and I'll watch baseball.
Yes, we've seen your tweets.
But even that, like, I don't necessarily sit through a whole game unless it's on a Saturday or you know, it's
playoff. So you just don't watch TV. I mean, overall.
I'm just not a big TV guy.
Where Tony and I use it, but we're... You do sit down. You will sit down and watch TV at times.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, you will.
By myself, not really.
No. When the wife's there,
when the wife's around, that's right. Our quality time, so to speak.
And I have it as background, but the problem that I never wanted to go into the world of Netflix or movies is because I then would start paying attention to it, and I've been okay with it where I haven't really, but I've noticed that. I might be better off going back to just watching CNN in the background.
Yeah.
And just be like, damn.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can't.
And with Fubo, for some reason, women across the table in general love these true crimes, like how they killed the husband.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it has all of those. Plus, it has all the documentaries.
Okay.
So Karen is in, like, heaven.
Oh, lovely.
She falls asleep every single night. Absorbing information on how to kill your husband.
Yeah, and you know,
for the past like 15 years,
there's going to be some day that you're going to wake up and she's going to be up.
Thank goodness we're recording.
Beside
this.
The bed,
the pillow will be on my face. Oh, I was just pushing. Yeah. Like an old
size. I was trying to make you comfortable.
But you know, the funny thing is.
Well, what about the kids though?
Well, even the kids, like, we don't watch a lot of TV in our house in general. Like, I, you know, I think that's the reason why my cable box is so low. We only have one TV with a box attached to it.
Okay, so that's $50 difference right there.
And though we have a TV downstairs, I don't have it attached to cable. It's just connected to Apple TV, so we get Netflix and Prime Video on that, and that's it.
So Optimum created this Altice all-in-one box, which just come with terrible reviews, but people tend to just write bad things, like all the happy ones are. And I think they're trying to basically compete with the Apple TVs, where the one box will basically be like a Roku or anything like that. Yeah. And I have always been a fan of Roku, and I've always used Roku, but now the ability, just the Fubo TV and on the Roku and Netflix alone, the thing that Roku balances is they don't have to worry about, like, Apple says, we're not going to do this because Amazon's doing this. Roku just absorbs everybody and takes everybody on, so you can get everything. But I guess... I have five TVs in my house, and the reason is because, so we have one in each bedroom for the kid, myself. Then we have one downstairs, then there's one in the kitchen and one in the living room. And I can't think of a TV that I could take out.
Really?
And life would function well. Yes, really? Your work is audio, so.
But it doesn't matter. Like, even personally speaking, like, we have TVs
that until you do it, you don't know that.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I watch my iPad more than I watch my TV, and I watch TV through my iPad, basically.
You watch TV?
Because I'll do it in the kitchen.
Because you're at the desk. Right.
I'll do it in the kitchen. No, never at my desk. Okay, you're never. Doing. If I'm at the kitchen doing stuff or around the house, whatever, I'll have the iPad on. Or we're watching the big TV. But we do have one, two, three, four TVs in the house.
And do they all have a cable
box? No, I have one cable box.
You know the
fact. So that's where you save $50.
Yeah, 100%.
I think the
I have the challenge of an Italian mom who's
there. Yeah. Well, she doesn't you got to make it easy. No,
yeah, 100%. And I had a daughter who's
there. I was just going to say that I think it's a cultural thing, too, because, you know, I remember way back when I visited Italy as, like, a teenager.
It's one TV.
I mean, it's not just one TV. It's just, like, TV is an appliance for them. So, like, they walk into the kitchen, they turn on TV. It doesn't really even matter what's on. Yeah, it's just on in the background the whole time.
Yes.
Sometimes news will come on. Sometimes there'll be a program.
But there's three channels.
Really,
and
because it's an eye.
And the bronzing, like, the tanning commercial that we show. With because the nudity was allowed. It was fantastic. Right.
But I think that's, like, I think that's it's partially a cultural thing. It's where, because we don't have a TV in my kitchen, and I didn't have a TV growing up in my kitchen, so, like, not having one in the kitchen is not a big deal. Like, that's where we eat, that's where we talk, and so on. You know, the living room is the only thing. That's the other thing, too, is I used to have a TV in my bedroom when we first got married,
but yeah, buddy,
I don't like having a TV in my bedroom. Like, that also is hard for me to fall asleep to. So
go ahead. The jokes are written.
What's that?
The jokes are writing themselves.
I'm sure.
Yes. Go ahead.
But it's just, it's like one of those, I think that's, TV is not a big...
Well, your wife is an educator, and she's a salt-of-the-earth type of person. So I would imagine she probably doesn't really care.
She doesn't care. She would rather have a book. Like, right. The one thing that I would say that we use a lot is we use our devices, and mostly for reading. Like, mm-hmm. I pick up my device, and I'll check the news in the mm-hmm. morning or mm-hmm. When I'm going to bed at night. Like, right now I'm reading the most recent book from Jason Fried.
Okay.
So, like, that's... How
that would be the base camp world of the right, basically yeah, 37 signals.
It's a 37 signals okay. base camp. Well, they're just base camp now.
Okay.
So his, you know, his book is all about, you know, work and creating a good productive environment, and it's a great book. But that's really even what we use our devices for. So even when I pick up my device, I'm not watching a video. I'm typically reading something. Although YouTube is a time suck. Like, you watch one YouTube video.
It, yeah. Like, I'm very specific with YouTube. Like, yeah. I rarely sit there and just let it, like, watch. Or like, I'm going for something specific. Either it's work-related or I need a how-to video or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, instructional stuff. So I'll watch instructional stuff. That's like, good. For, like, you know, some of the software that I use and things of that sort.
Well, you're not home on the weekends because you have events.
Most of the time. That's right.
During the week, I go back to the audio thing because you have the audio thing. You're gonna cut out.
No, during the day, no. My TV's off. Yeah, if that's where you're going, yeah, it's off.
Right.
My TV's off unless something like is going on that I want to catch up on.
When you're home, you're cooking dinner, like you said. Yep. But your kitchen is set where the TV you can see.
No, it's not. In our old home, not now. Not really.
Okay, you could kind of.
Because it's kind of like,
okay,
not
yeah,
really.
This is true.
So what I'll do is if I am cooking dinner,
yeah.
especially if I'm alone, like we time shift a lot.
Yeah.
So like I'll catch up on news programs or I'll catch up on like interviews and stuff like that. But that's all on the iPad while I'm cooking. So it's like, you know, multitasking, so to speak. That'd be the equivalent of having a TV in the kitchen. And then if it's late enough and I'm not going back to work downstairs, you know, in the studio, I'll sit and watch. I'll catch up on like a news program if I'm alone or whatever. But then if we're together, then we'll watch one of her programs, and that's fine. I'll have the iPad in front of me.
I think the core difference here is
mm-hmm.
That I am the sports.
Yeah, and there's nothing sports about me.
And because I'm the sports nut. I need to have the live event.
Yeah. I understand that.
Right.
I understand
that's probably like, because the Rangers, the Mets, that spreads out an entire year of games being on basically every single night of the year.
Yeah, of course.
At some level.
Right. Well, so if you're a sports guy, there's always something on pretty
yes.
much. So I can
yeah.
understand that.
Right.
But I don't watch any sports.
Right. So I guess that is part of it.
Yeah.
But it's more so the when the kid and the wife go to bed
yeah.
at around 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I sit down every night with the laptop and I do work, and I have basically CNN on the background because
yeah.
I don't want to commit to any kind of
no.
movie unless it's like the other night while I was working at Carlito's Way On.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can watch it and not watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm not going to get invested in like Game of Thrones. I've never seen an episode.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black. I've never seen it. Now they're on Netflix and I'm looking at it.
Right.
And I will not, I have that display. I will not go.
Yeah.
Where Karen's like, oh, I can watch this Orange is the New, because we never had it,
yeah,
and she
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She literally puts on the TV, and as long as something's on,
she's out.
She'll fall asleep usually within an hour anyway, but she'll watch her true crimes and stuff,
right.
or she'll watch, like, once in a while, she loves Catfish still. She still loves Catfish. MTV is not on the Fubo. And I'm like, look, you go all millennial and rogue and just watch it on YouTube or something. I am not paying to watch Catfish.
Right.
I'm paying for the Rangers, but not Catfish.
Right.
So
this episode brought to you by FUBO.
Yeah, I know.
Remember, we called Fresh Books.
We did.
We called them live.
Called FUBO.
I don't think they'll have the same type of customer service.
Don't,
but,
they don't
not.
Care.
Yeah,
so hopefully that was valuable to you, the listener.
If you're a sports fan especially, I would consider it.
Okay.
Do you guys do Hulu? I know this is going to be like a...
We just started Hulu for Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
Which is fantastic.
Yes. Yes, another one that I want to see.
Fantastic.
That's the one with the women. I need to see this, but I will not commit to it.
All right, yeah. So I think we got like a free trial.
Okay. Episode, you update us every episode now.
well, it's on break now.
Well, and you know the interesting thing with these services.
Sure.
The interesting thing with these services is that it changes the dynamic in the way you watch TV.
100%.
To somebody the other day make a comment about this. I think it was another podcast that I listened to. Instead of having to wait week to week for an episode and having that anticipation build up, like, you can binge watch.
You binge.
And that's what a lot of people do. Because they're not only is it like building up over time, there are shows that just get all released at once.
Yeah.
Like,
they are.
There is a romance though to having the schedule.
There is.
However, there is also the fact that we didn't have that choice. So is it a romance because we chose it? No, it's a romance because
we were
that's
tired.
The only choice we had.
We
now when you have choice, you know, it's nice. Like, I don't always watch awards, but it's cool when awards are on or the Super Bowl is on or things like that because you know, in terms of a kumbaya,
everyone's sharing the experience, right? Yeah.
Right. Whereas, like, you know, no spoiler alerts, and it's like, I didn't binge watch all 12 episodes of it. I'm only at episode 9.
Right.
Right.
So there is that fragmented part of it.
It is.
Right.
The talks by the water cooler.
Yeah, there is that. Different. Yeah. But maybe it's not. It's only romantic because that was our only choice. We didn't have a choice.
No, I think it's not cultural, I suppose, but it's because of, you know, the way we were brought up, essentially. We lived through episodes, and then there was winter break, and then there was summer break, and, you know, you had the... Everybody was on the same schedule, so to speak, because almost everything was...
And there are still some that follow that formula, but it's not as common anymore.
No, certainly not, but with the advent of, you know, like you said, original content being released all at once, like Netflix releases everything.
And the thing that's that I find amazing about Netflix is that none of their stuff has been crap. I mean,
they're
that's an overgeneralization.
They have taken a page out of HBO.
They're doing really
high end,
stuff.
Really good content. But and there's a lot of obviously I'm not new to it. I just never bothered with it because of the way my life was. I knew that there was content on there, but even digging down, even the content that's on the lower scope of their stuff. Seems like it could have potential to certain people, or
solid,
like
a few
outside of the popular ones. But yeah, all right,
great. Hopefully, that was valuable to you.
we do have we are making money.
Okay.
So Anchor.
I haven't seen a check.
No. Anchor.fm is where for those podcasters out there, we'll stay in the media world. When you're recording a podcast, do I go to SoundCloud? I got to go to iTunes, blah, blah, blah. Anchor.fm, where we've been using it for about 2 years. They had a major upgrade or major change in the past couple of months. What they do now is I literally stop, record it, download the file, upload it to our Anchor free account, which we have, and Anchor then posts it to SoundCloud, iTunes. They also provide ad revenue for us. So, at the beginning of all episodes, you now hear me telling you about Anchor, just so you know.
Fantastic.
And as you get a little bit more revenue or a little bit more steam, companies that Anchor has spoken to see the numbers of certain podcasts and say, we want them to advertise for us, and we'll pay them at $20 per click or whatever it is. So Threadless is one of our new vendors that I can do a script for. It plays at the beginning, and we get paid based on each listen.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome.
So we have now made $3.42.
I'm very excited about that. That almost pays for coffee.
But the momentum is seeing. We have apparently had 70 plays of our episode within Anchor alone.
That's awesome.
In the past month.
That's awesome.
None of you have fucking shared it.
That's not true.
Nobody has cut. I was going to say that I'm not surprised because one of our own hosts here on the show, first time he shared it was only a month ago. So we're giving you guys the time to catch up.
Thank you, Mariano. Audience,
And if you also notice, I will call Tony out. Tony does not share it, because he's worried a little bit about the drive.
I do. No, I don't.
No, but I think you do it more on the download drop house.
Why do you say that?
Because I looked and I'm like, hey, he didn't really put it on his public page. He did it on his drop house or his Tony T. So...
untrue.
Okay, we're going to...
Shenanigans.
We're going to... this is not fake news. all of a sudden, I'm Nixon over here. And that's it.
Okay.
I'm very happy to hear that.
I am too.
What? Well, I'm not giving you the money.
It's fine. I don't want the money. No. There are costs.
It's a coffee fund.
It's not even a coffee fund.
You need to pay for this sucker over here.
Exactly.
I pay with pain. Mariana, you were talking about something before?
I was not talking about something. What was I talking about
before? I don't know. Can you just bring up something?
Why did you have to say that? I wanted to say that this is not related to technology.
Okay, Tony, what do you got?
One of the things that I found that was very sad. Well, a little bit of nostalgia, just a little, okay. little bit of nostalgia. Many people may know I'm originally from Massachusetts, and one of the things that I traveled over all the time was the Tappan Zee Bridge. And the Tappan Zee Bridge, I think the northbound side was demolished today.
Yes.
Was it?
Imploded. Yes. It was supposed to be the other
side. It was actually just done while we were recording. Okay. So I'm saddened by it.
I traveled the Tappan Zee many a times myself, being from up there and dating three different girls at three different times in Boston.
Nice.
And for those of you not in the area,
I did not date you.
The Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah. Did you ever?
Very rarely. Ever? Very rarely.
I mean, it was a death trap.
Tarrytown.
Tarrytown, I think. Yeah.
White Plains.
Yeah. That's really the only time I would go to Tappan Zee.
Hey, if any listeners out there have ever been over the Tappan Zee Bridge, please share your story with us.
This motherfucker shares it one time. Now he's like calling people out. Let me have.
Come on.
You got to put a little bit more street cred in there. Okay. We're going to see a couple shares. This get on Instagram.
We'll see a couple.
Can
shares.
You please go on Instagram?
Why do I? Have
I'm
going to
harass
Instagram?
You every episode.
It's like another thing that I got.
Another thing. You're on one thing and you don't even watch TV. You go to Facebook and you don't watch TV.
It's very busy. We're all very busy, Lawrence.
I really want to take a picture of his hair for the thumbnail for this episode.
Yeah.
You should. So, all right.
We
so,
have no hair, Tony.
We have no hair.
Carte blanche when it comes to the follicles of a human being. Follicles?
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you want to talk about other trending things, or you want to just
Whatever you got there. What do you got?
Well, R.I.P. Carol Channing.
Okay.
So I did not know that.
Yeah, she died today.
Oh, today. Yeah. I've been very busy.
Yeah. Like you.
It's a challenge to get here at 10 a.m.
And all right. So and something that might prompt a little bit more discussion. Mm-hmm. So Gillette did this commercial. About you know the best a man can be. Have you either of you guys seen it yet?
I have not.
There's a new one or
no?
Well, that's their slogan: the best a man can be.
Yes.
Well, the best a man can be. So the idea of this commercial was it's really kind of following on the heels of the Me Too movement and saying, you know, we have this idea in our culture that you know boys will be boys and it shows kids fighting and. They ask the question, is this really the best a man can be? And they go on and say, you know, how men change the way they talk to boys and saying, you know, the way you act is the way boy, or I don't remember the
right,
exact
right.
script.
I see where it's going.
Now known as the Kevin Hart monologues.
there's a lot of back and forth about, you know, this being an ad and a company, but I think it sends an important message to people that actually watch it. So I'd be curious to know what you think about it.
I'd be curious to actually see that, and I'll have to look that up.
Podcast. Did you see this commercial?
No.
I think that's great.
So wait, what was the article in reference to about the ad?
No, there was no article about the ad. It's just
about the
ads
in general.
Itself. They published this ad about, you know.
Is it a print ad?
No, it's a video.
So they're suggesting that the way we talk to boys in general,
is what we are now really the best we can be?
That's cool.
Their slogan being the best a man can get,
right?
You know,
and in comparison to the bullying—not bullying, but like beating up in the playground.
It's kind of a broad swath of issues. It's bullying, how we treat women,
misogyny,
the whole nine yards. So
I think it's an absolute bullshit thing. It's jumping in on a cause out of bullshit.
So you have an opinion, even though you didn't see the commercial?
No, I don't need to see the commercial. It's bullshit.
You're being such a critic.
I am being a hard critic because it's this.
That's very cynical.
It's not cynical.
It is cynical.
No, it's not cynical. I think it's bullshit. And
You're assuming that their motive...
Well, I'm not the best a man can be, okay? So let me just tell you that, yes... On the playground, boys fighting. Let's go with the overall notion and that type of stuff and talking to boys about being tougher and stuff like that. There is nothing wrong with that. The problem is the secondary phase of that conversation is when they say, boys are tough, they don't cry. That's the part that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. They're human beings. They do cry. There's that I nothing. Agree with. But yes, you know what? Sometimes boys, I look at it. When Karen was pregnant, I looked and I said, all I wanted was a boy, a boy, a boy. I'm at some restaurant stuff and I see a dad with two kids. The daughter is 11 getting napkins and the boy is 7 with straws up his nose. And I'm saying to myself, it doesn't matter that he does it, but boys tend to do boy type things and girls tend to do girl type things and it's okay. The problem is that boys also can do girl type things and girls can do boy type things.
Well,
and that's where the division has always been. You don't cry, you're a boy. You don't do that, you're a girl. That's the problem I have with it. But the fact that boys find it on the playground and girls don't,
I was going broader. Well, but I'm saying they're jumping on that concept of
it's, you know, we're in a new world, and I think it's a bullshit premise. Not premise, a bullshit motive. I don't know that the premise, and I think that the easy way is to say, this is how we taught boys when they were younger. That's because that's what boys do.
No, but that's the point. No, but that's the thing. Like,
I'm going to comment on this head everywhere. Yeah.
It's not that we don't teach boys to fight. That's not necessarily... But that's
correct.
Not necessarily the
it's
point
part,
of the commercial. The
way,
commercial is we should not reinforce that behavior. We should not reinforce bullying. We should not reinforce...
No, there's a difference. There's a difference between when I had to fight at the library after school at 3:05, mano a mano, versus 10 guys or 3 guys or 2 guys or 4 guys calling other kids who are younger when they're fat or bullied. There's a difference between the two. There's not a big deal with some boys showing aggression and fighting and dueling with things the way they deal with it. And then there's the bullying part. It's like this fact of like saying the boy can't fight. I'm sorry, the boy can fight, but he can't cry. That's the bullshit part of it. It's the secondary phase.
The bullshit part is giving someone an excuse to do something because they are a boy. It's saying, like, because if two girls started fighting, you're not going to say the same thing.
Right.
That's the point.
And I'm saying, why not? Why are you not saying the same thing? If we are going with equality across the board, which I'm a feminist at heart. But if you're going to tell me that we tell girls certain things and boys certain things, but we have to eliminate what boys do to make them feel equal to what the girls do. I'm saying let the boys be boys, let the girls be girls. And if the girls want to be like the boys and the boys want to be like the girls, great. Where we used to say, you can't put fingernail polish on your nails, or you can't wear earrings, you can have long hairs, all things that I did, I was told I couldn't do. Well, why couldn't I do it in the 90s? Girls do it. So what I'm saying is, don't tell me I can't do it, tell me that I can do it. Not because I'm a boy or a girl, but because I want to. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you, the bullying part, of course, but there's also the other side of it. You know, it made you tougher, put hair on your chest when you were younger. A little bit of, the thing is it gets a little bit vicious now sometimes with stuff. But we were all made fun of when we were younger.
I think there are things that happen that are happening because, look, at different ages, kids are going to try different things.
Yes.
And some of them are going to be... You know, some of them are going to be okay. Some of them are not going to be okay. The point is that we as adults need to be able to call them out and say that is not appropriate behavior. Even if it's something that we would typically label as a boy thing or a girl thing, we need to be able to say that's not appropriate behavior
That's what I mean with the bullying part, of course. Whereas when we were younger, sometimes that got glossed over by parents or didn't, you know, nobody cared. You couldn't go tell your teacher. Your teacher would be like, oh, just deal with it.
There are now no boy roles or girl roles. It should be a person's role.
What do you mean by roles? I think that a boys should be able to do whatever they do without saying that's a girl thing, and girls should be able to do whatever they want to do without saying it's a boy thing.
All right,
but
let me ask. Here's a good example.
Yes, I want an example.
Here's an example. So... Growing up in an Italian household, the big thing was when you're done with dinner,
mm-hmm. Right? The girls
women would get up and they'd clear the table, and the men would sit down and talk.
Right.
I don't agree with that.
Why?
Because if I want to get up,
this is the annoyance I have with the liberal side. You get to say what the rule is. In my house, if that's accepted by both parties, it should be acceptable.
But what I'm saying is, if I get up,
right.
To help clean the table,
right.
I should not be told to sit back down because I'm a man. Right. I don't care what house I'm in.
Right. And I'm saying that if everybody just lets what they want to be acceptable at their house without you saying that's acceptable and not acceptable. For instance, in my house, I do the majority of I do the majority of the cooking, right? Yeah. I do because one of the time schedule and stuff like that, that it works out, I'm a better cook. Yeah. I am.
Okay.
She's very disciplined, so she's great at baking. I can't. Anyway, and what I'm saying to you is that by you doing, and yes, I'm calling you out, but by you saying that it shouldn't be where the woman gets up, you don't get to say that in other people's houses.
No, I'm
so
not
you don't get
that
to
I...
say that that's right or wrong, because just like Republicans say certain things are right or wrong, liberals tend to do the same thing. They just think that their answer is a more fair answer. And I'm saying to you is, in my house, I clear the table with my daughter, and my wife doesn't, because she just got home from work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Tony's house, his wife might clear, and either response is fine.
I agree, with that. Either response is fine. I'm not saying there should be rules around.
But you came across like there is.
No,
you said that should not be acceptable.
What I'm saying should not be acceptable is that a woman is expected to do something because she is a woman. Or a man should be expected
to
do
something within someone's house.
I'm not saying that
it's just passing judgment.
I'm serious.
Yes. I think you're just that's your perspective, and
yes.
I tend to agree with it. Also, setting the record straight,
yes,
I cook and clean. So,
yes.
I
think all three of us do.
Yeah,
I do
for
not,
much of the same
I do
reason.
Clean. I do not clean.
I'll clear the dishes and wash the dishes and all that stuff. My wife does like the major clean, but she does that like
why
when she's
clean?
Actually
is
home.
That, is
no,
that,
no,
is that the
it's because I'm not allowed to.
You suck at it.
No, I'm.
Did you do the trick where you clean shitty the first time, so then they should never ask you again?
Oh,
no,
don't tell anyone. That's a guy trick.
I try. I clean as best I can, but my wife is.
It's not acceptable what you do.
Much better.
In many cases, it's because I'm not allowed, and I'm not. And like I said,
you're not allowed.
I'm not allowed because I'm not as. I'm not.
You are so Republican.
No, Mariano. No.
Well, anyway, I am just. All I'm saying is that we should not have kids grow up with preconceived notions about
assigned
what they
roles,
can
so
or
to
can't
speak.
Do. We can say, like, you can do whatever you
I'm
want
gonna
in your household.
I'm going to push back on it
as
again.
Long as
I'm agreeing with
understood.
You, by the way. I'm agreeing with That's you, cool. But I'm going to push back and say you don't get to start a sentence with we should. Because if I can tell you that I have a neighbors, who still don't watch football for one reason. And you know the reason, right? It's because a bunch of black guys took a knee.
Yeah.
That's why they don't watch it.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I don't give a fuck. Like, I can – if it's the same group of people that will tell you they don't want to hear artists talk about politics. They don't want to hear awards talk about things. They just want the sport. Well, if they're taking a knee, whether you agree or not, it's before the game. So why don't you apply that to the sport?
Mm-hmm.
And my point is whether you agree with them kneeling or not, there's no we should – and I say that to you, meaning that if you start out a sentence with we should, you're automatically doing what you're trying to fight against, which I'm agreeing with you on.
Hmm.
Meaning that you say we should, you sound like the other – whatever side you're opposing, they're doing the same thing. It's just the subject of what you're saying should be done sounds better to you, which I agree with, than the other side.
Perhaps.
But you're both doing the same thing. You just have different end results. I think your response is the right answer, by the way. Let me
perhaps.
But then
I don't get upset if I go to a house and all the men sit and the women get up and get stuff, because in that house it's acceptable. I don't think they should do it. I think they should do whatever they want to do. As long as they're not harming anybody else. I mean, let's be obvious with stuff like that. But your theory I'm agreeing with, don't get me wrong. I just think it comes across as the same way.
I don't completely agree with you. But we don't have time.
I think that's how culture shifts, though. Culture shifts by having two opposing or slightly different viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you do say we should because you look at it as progress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So although I agree that you shouldn't you don't get to start a sentence with "we should."
Right.
Yeah. Although we should take a look at some of our, you know, roles and societal norms, and that's how we evolve.
I'm not saying you shouldn't start with "we should." I'm just saying when you started with
"yeah,"
we
I know should, what you're saying. Yep.
It's sort of like saying
they put someone on the
defensive. I've noticed.
Right. Right. Yes. Especially
it comes
at this point.
Across, and when you're presenting in an argument, especially when it gets heated with stuff like this, not between us, but like mm-hmm. when the opposing mm-hmm. side mm-hmm. that you may be, mm-hmm. when you do that, that person shuts down.
You're right. Yeah.
So I am in a. I'm very comfortable. Let's your specific one. I'm very comfortable when I go to Italy that the men sit there, mm-hmm. and the women get up and they clear the table and they cook. But my uncles also cook. And they have, in the traditional role, come from a full day's of work.
Right, right.
So I think that when you're in a partnership, if somebody stays home and somebody goes to work, the person that stays home should have the house clean, dinner, whatever your regulations are.
Yeah, yeah.
Not because that's the woman or that's the man outside. It should be because you're married and involved with the person.
I think it should be... I think if you
come get that shit word.
Here's I think it.
When it's I should, like it's great. When it's we should, you might set the person off.
I think it should work like this. I agree with you. If there are two people that come to an understanding, like this is how it is work. Because we decided. This,
yes. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yes.
That's fine. I'm saying as a society,
right.
We have to get out of the mindset of. It should be this way because it has always been this way. Or it should be this way because that is
point.
Their role.
And
or
that's my point.
It's a societal problem because we are saying collectively this is how it should be, as opposed to saying it's an individual choice. You have to decide how you're going to divide that. And I'm not saying I don't go into a house and judge that house because they do things differently than I do.
You might. No. I do.
I do not. I
yes, you
I
do.
No, no, I don't actually because I don't know what the history is there. Yeah. But I'm saying that I am not necessarily going to conform to that just because I'm in the house. If I feel the need because I'm
you go
a
to
guest,
someone's house and they tell you to take your shoes off.
I'll take my shoes off. I'll take my shoes off because that is something that they've established as rules in their house.
Okay.
But I'm saying it's not going to prevent me from helping somebody just because they're, you know, in their mm-hmm. house, I'm mm-hmm. not supposed to help.
Right. So you don't take your shoes off and be like, you know, we really should leave
I
our shoes
say,
on.
Yeah. I no, mean, I'm please.
Kidding.
That's,
I'm kidding.
That's
no,
a,
I know. I know. You're very polite, of course.
That's a house rule.
I mean, kidding.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So go watch the video. I'd be curious now to see what you actually think about it.
Well, I mean, the video itself might work well. I just, you know, I get a little cynical when it comes to
motives
from large corporations that jump on the Me Too, that jump on this stuff, right?
Like, 100%.
It's a great idea.
There's an argument to say that Dove soap...
Mm-hmm.
has done a lot of great things for women's overall vibe.
Body image.
Mm-hmm.
And I can admittingly take out the cynical part of it and saying, you know, they're doing it just to get advertising. Because that's part of their job. I can do that. However, there have been some times where I have seen it where it does feel like they are doing more damage than good in certain commercials, and I don't remember offhand. Mm-hmm. So I always look at it, but part of it is, when you're in the advertising world, you look at things differently. Like the way Tony and I go to a wedding now as a guest is far different than the way you would go to a wedding.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
We
I
probably
wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Right. We probably – I can't enjoy the wedding until after intros.
Yeah.
Whereas Tony might be okay and then the music starts playing and then Tony's just like, oh, or like
why
great,
would
like,
you mix the right. songs together?
Right. Where Mariano sits at the table and waits for the women to clear the table.
On that note –
Yes. Tony, any closing thoughts, remarks?
No, I think this was fantastic. So therapeutic.
Yeah?
No.
Anything you want to talk about, like, What do you well, let's
Happy New Year.
Can we do a quick... did you guys see the Kevin Hart issue? We don't have to go.
You know, I actually... That's funny that you brought that up because I kind of feel like I missed it.
Okay.
I blinked and I missed it because it all happened so fast.
It's not that important.
Yeah. He was host and he wasn't host.
Well, apparently when he was on Twitter in like 2009, he did a video and a couple of mentions about how if his son ever grew up gay, he'd beat the hell out of him. And he uses the FAG word, right? Yeah, yeah. And now, because he's hosting an awards with a large gay crowd, you know, that doesn't even matter. But then I guess Ellen brought him on because he got a lot of crap. And then Kevin Hart said, I don't know if I want to do it now because people are giving me crap from 09. I've grown, blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Because he said that in 09? Yeah. Oh, he said that in 09. Yeah. Oh, my.
So, okay. Right. So that's my reaction initially. And then you'd start dicing it down, right? And then you start saying, you know, I saw what he said a little bit. And, you know, how it's different, the gay world is perceived in the black culture versus in other cultures, and uh-huh. Going back to the man being a man when you're a boy type stuff. And then, you know, I said to myself, I think he's making it more of a big thing by saying he's not going to host the show mm-hmm. and put himself more as a target for whoever wants to target him. But I go back and forth, and I'm like, yeah, he said it. And then I say to myself, who hasn't said stuff that wouldn't be considered amazing to say?
Especially when there are 10 years.
10 years. But then you add the fact that he's a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And there come, you know, I never feel bad for a celebrity because a celebrity chose to be a celebrity on many levels mm-hmm. and they get paid very well to do it.
Sure.
And part of it is that they have a large amount of eyeballs. So I do think that they have to live a more structured life publicly. He said in 09 before anybody really knew him mm-hmm. outside of a major comedian, mm-hmm. you know, a comedian. And then I'm like, well, host it or not host it, you know, a teaching moment. Like, just give me a break. What fucking teaching moment are we going to have? If you think what he said, the committee, was abhorrent and shouldn't be a representative of the current thing, take him off. Him going back and forth makes him look weak and soft and makes him look hesitant and stuff like that. Instead of, I think what he should have done was, I'm going to host it. I'm going to make my apology in the beginning and end it. He's made this into this long Real Housewives of New Jersey type episode.
I can see that. I can see that.
I think I think the important thing is that he... there are two ways that he can get around it. Number one, he can acknowledge that it occurred and apologize for it if he really feels that way.
Which he did on Instagram. And the
sentiment is what's important. You know, like, if you're a white supremacist and you say something that's inappropriate and you apologize for it, but your actions demonstrate that you're still a white supremacist.
Right. Sure.
Then it doesn't matter what you said.
Like King, the congressman, right?
He has a long history of it. And recent history, too. Right. So it doesn't really matter if he apologizes for it because there's no evidence to demonstrate that he has...
He has to live a life of five to seven years or whatever time, but even demonstrating that
he has sincerely changed.
Right.
Kevin Hart, I don't know enough about him to be able to say he feels differently than he did when he said those things.
Well, I think because the stereotype is in the black culture that... The gay culture is looked down upon. I mean, I've heard every comedian and black comedian, Chris Rock on down, talk about mm-hmm. this stuff. But this is common knowledge. Like, I'm saying this to you, too, and you know that it's true what I'm saying. Now, has it changed? Has it gotten better? Has it all the progress and things of that? Of course. For him to say it, it's like Michael Vick, right? When he did the dog stuff, he said it was part of my culture. It was what I didn't even think that electrocuting a dog would be a terrible thing. To us three, I would imagine, it's like
horrifying.
How could you how could you not even conceive that it was a bad thing?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
The pain the dog must have felt. Yeah.
But there is the other side of when you're in that world of five TVs in your house and you with the iPad, my world is my world. As bad as it is what Michael Vick did and what Kevin Hart said in 2009. The Vic thing is not the comparison, but we've all said crappy things. There's no human being that doesn't have conversations with friends and stuff, doesn't say something that's considered racist, sexist, or anything else, right? Mm-hmm. It's the intent. It's the type of thing.
Like I said, it's the sentiment. I mean, and it's really, you have to, as a person, demonstrate, like, that if you really don't feel that way anymore, and honestly, like, he may still feel that way. There are people that out there.
Sure.
There are just going to be people out there.
But does he get to feel that way and then have a public portfolio where, you know, we find out about celebrities like Kevin Spacey, all these, like Kevin Spacey, right, apparently touched a kid or gotten, right? not say he's allowed to do it, but I'm saying, is he allowed to have his public persona and then have a private one where he might not be the best guy? Assuming that it wasn't something like he did, but I'm saying, right, like, has tendencies and things.
I think the people
and they cross it over now with social media.
What's going to determine whether or not that becomes a thing is whether people continue to go and see his movies or continue to go and see Kevin Hart. Like, these are the things that the power is not in what we say. It's how we support that person.
Right.
So if we continue to go see Kevin Spacey's movies, then we're tacitly not passing judgment on him. We're saying, hey, you know, you can continue doing what you're doing because we're still going to pay to see your movies.
Right.
We don't care that you're an asshole. You know, that's
can I do both? Can I care that he's an asshole?
You probably.
And go watch the movie of them?
You probably can.
I really don't like. It's like the guy who bans against football, right?
Right.
Let's say that you agree with the concept of the kneeling thing for the football players was bad. If you don't go watch the football game because of something that happens before the game, I personally think you're a fool. Because if you really want to go do something, then go do something to promote your side. By being absent, gives you a no voting absence.
Yeah, but no. But no, the thing that happens when you're absent is that you're not paying money to go see that person. And if enough people feel that way,
it's like not buying.
That's what
like boycotting.
Agree, but here's the and I agree with you. The problem is, and this is a old sports thing, when you're a fan, you don't want to have to invest anything. And I don't mean by money, I mean by energy. I want to just go watch, like, because I've heard it over the years, we need to boycott the Knicks because of the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Fans are not going to boycott the Knicks. You know why? Because the Knicks are entertainment to me, the Nets, the Rangers, they're entertainment. I want to just go watch it and have everything removed from it. Kevin Spacey movie, if I see it on Netflix, I'm going to watch it because I don't care about what he did in the sense of the direct relationship
to
me.
Right.
Now, if you're going to tell me that Kevin Spacey is going to call me and be like, hey, I have a movie, like, that type of stuff is practical, but the fandom of it, that's ignoring stuff, like,
what I'm saying, I agree that you can say I just want to enjoy it, but I'm saying that if people want to affect change, they're going to do something that's going to hurt.
It won't happen.
And so if they like their football more than they like the message, more than they dislike
the message,
then that's how they affect change. And if not enough people are boycotting football games to make a change, nothing is going to change.
Right.
That's ultimately what people are afraid of when these things happen.
Sure.
You know, that's what Hollywood is afraid of when Kevin Spacey has all these things. They're like, all of a sudden his movies are not going to sell. And that's how people get damaged. That's why people want to apologize, because we're not talking about tens of dollars,
because it does matter.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, right, it does matter.
And that's where it hurts them the most. And that's why all of a sudden there's this sense.
There isn't, though, because just to close it out, Michael Vick, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he did. I mean, he killed, slaughtered, electrocuted with his bare hands in buckets with chains around hundreds of dogs. Every Sunday he's on the NBC on the NFL show. So something as horrific as that, or at least in my book, horrific as that, he is still there. So I agree with you in theory that getting collection, like, enough people called NBC and said no or whatever.
The problem is when people call NBC is not enough.
Well, whoever it is they call.
People calling the advertisers for NBC and saying,
right,
I'm not buying your product anymore.
My point is that sometimes we have so much going on that the Kevin Spacey stuff of the world and stuff, we just want to not invest any morality. Because we have to do it so much all day, that I just want to sit down and watch a fucking Kevin Spacey movie. And I think that's just core humanity. So when it's celebrities and sports athletes that do this stuff,
but again,
they get away with it because it's their personal stuff.
Yeah.
But when they're on the team, they're on the team, and I'm watching the team.
And that's going to ultimately come down to choice.
Yeah.
Like, how strongly you feel about it. And if what your choice is makes you feel better because you're $100 on Sunday is not going to the guys that are kneeling, or if your $100 your $20 movie ticket is not going towards, you know, the production company and whatever that made that Kevin Spacey movie, it doesn't make a dent for them.
No.
But for you, it's going to feel
collectively
better.
So
ultimately,
it
starts with what you feel is appropriate, and then it may grow beyond there. And if you feel enough passion towards it, maybe you become an activist and you start, you know, building these arguments for why somebody shouldn't do something like that. But, you know, the initial kind of hit is not because you're actually hurting that person, but because you
feel better.
We should go.
I think we're exposed to a lot more than we care to your point.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, many, many years ago, there were plenty of celebrities leading double lives, let's call them, yeah. right? And we didn't know shit.
Every athlete in the 50s and 60s.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So we are exposed. We are overloaded at this point with probably more information than we care to know about Kevin Spacey or anybody else, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're almost put in the position where we have to analyze this because otherwise I'm a shitty person mm-hmm. if I support XYZ or I right. don't boycott XYZ or whatever. So to your point, Lorenzo, sometimes you do just want to watch a fucking movie.
Yeah,
right.
Or go to a game, you know, yes. without having to go, oh my God, I feel like an asshole being here.
Yes.
You know, so I think that plays into it as well. I was speaking more to your point about how, you know, are they allowed to have double lives, for lack of a better term? You know, I think so. But it's exponentially more difficult, I would say, nowadays because you're just exposed to everything. So,
but he didn't have to go on Twitter and sit and put that video. That's right, where the problem right, is. Right, it's right. his decision-making to do that.
Right.
If that doesn't appear, this doesn't happen.
Right.
And if you find that out if the producers find that out from the award show mm-hmm. that he did that for however they find out, do they have to respond?
They have to do this, right?
It's like, you know, it's almost like we're living a tattletale society now.
Well, we do,
and like
it's all out there.
The guy that got fired, the weather guy up in upstate New York, mm-hmm. he said he was talking about Martin Luther King. And he said it so fast that instead of King, he said C-O-O-N, okay? Ugh. If you can't spell. So he said that. He got fired immediately.
Oh, my God.
When you listen to it, it sounds like it's innocent. The guy apologized. He went on CNN, the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. But the station had to fire him. Now you have African-American news reporters and whatnot saying, it's ridiculous. You shouldn't be firing him because, you know, it's he made an innocent mistake after 20 years in the industry,
right.
so on and so forth.
Right.
So it gets to the point where it's such a defensive approach that we have. And while I am completely a progressive feminist, everything move forward, there is a little bit of beauty to the fact of not being so ultra tattletale sensitive
measuring,
everything.
Measured, right? Measured responses. Everything. Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah, but we're at that point, right, where society is so reflexive and so everyone's so offended.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly. That, especially when it comes to companies like that, you know, they have to react right away. Yeah. We have to get out of it.
But they think that.
Yeah.
More so than sometimes the community does.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Probably, yeah.
We should end the podcast. All right.
Yes.
It got...
it's in the can.
Exciting. Oh, yeah. Oh.
I find that offensive.
Go ahead, episode.
I find
take
that
it
offensive.
Away, Mariano.
I find that.
Close
offensive.
It out.
No.
We're done here. Thank
episode
you so much, guys.
Episode 29. It's in the can.
It's in the can.